Hello and welcome to the Camping Crew Podcasts with Chris and Aaron.
Welcome to episode 148 of the Camping Crew Podcast. I'm Aaron Burchell.
And I'm Chris Byrne.
As always, it's meant to be a fun podcast. We're just enthusiasts and what we discuss on the podcast is just our own personal views.
Yeah, and if you'd like to support the podcast, and if you can afford to, you can buy us a coffee at ko-fi.com/thecampingcrew. And we want to say a big thank you to Michael W. and Kevin H. For their donations this week. Kevin actually left a nice message. He says, I've been meaning to express my thanks to both of you by means of a coffee for quite some time. As always, I wait eagerly every week for your latest episode. Keep up the good work and any old chance of a sticker for my van. Regards, Kevin. So they'll be on the way to Kevin there very shortly.
And can we remind you, the stickers are free. They always will be. And all you got to do is give us your name and address and we'll give you the contact details at the end of the podcast. Now, we start with news. And it's not good news about Dixfield that you got.
Yeah, I saw a message on their Facebook page and he asked everyone just to share the word. So here we are. He said, to all our customers, due to circumstances beyond our control, we will not be open on a Maybank holiday weekend as planned. We hope to have the situation resolved as soon as possible. We'll keep everybody informed on our Facebook page. Pass the word on. Please accept our apologies for any inconvenience caused. So look, we wish him a speedy up and running there from us.
We're looking forward to heading down there like many people at some stage during the year. Now, it's quite a busy show regards online chatter and listeners' messages. Online chatter, I saw this on a Facebook group during the week about Gardaí on the prowl on the Ennis bypass on Good Friday, pulling in every camper and checking the weight. This person, Dahi, got done for 250 kgs over his 3,500 kg limit. It was a 100 euro fine. And then the guard said, enjoy your weekend. He said, I thought they were dipping for green diesel, but no, it was a weight thing. Now, on some of our motorways, we do have weigh bridges. It was an EU thing for commercial vehicles, but they were never brought into action. There was a follow-up to that, and it goes as follows. To follow up from the thread about motorhomes being stopped and weighed, I would like to point out the following. Your vehicle has a maximum design weight and plate on it showing the weight. The vehicle suspension and brakes are designed to work effectively up to that weight. If your fully loaded vehicle is over the weight and you have an accident, you're not insured. Now, I think that should read, you may not be insured. If the maximum design weight is over 3,500 kV, then you also need a C1 license as a minimum. If you're thinking of buying a motorhome, it's wise to look at the weight plate and also get it weighed on a weighbridge with a full tank of gas, water and fuel. Then add 85 kg per belted passenger. Add another 60 kg for sundry items. The sum of the weight should be under the plated weight, i.e. 3,500 kg. To get a vehicle operated could mean upgrading the brakes, suspension, as well as the weight plate. This would need to be verified by an authorised dealer of the make of the motorhome you possess. I know it may seem that the guards are picking on motorhomes, but they are really trying to keep you safe. I think, and there was more comments on this, and I would agree with one or two of them saying that, I think 90% of us drive overweighted on our vans when we put kids, bikes, clothes, food, water, gas bottles, driver, adults. I honestly think if we all pull into a weighbridge, at least 90% of us, especially where a family is concerned, are going to be overweight, Chris.
Yeah, it's definitely a tricky one, isn't it? Just to know where things stand. And depending on some vehicles, you mightn't actually have much room for any extra weight.
Yeah.
Like, you know, once you've done all the loading, you said, between kind of people and awnings and water and food, and so it's definitely something to know how much capacity you have on an empty van, so you can maybe kind of judge.
Maybe if you live near a co-op that has a weighbridge, it's worth just before you head off on a Friday or maybe midweek packing up with what you would normally pack up with, and maybe it's worth spending 20 quid heading down and saying to the guys, here, could you just stick that on the scales just to see where you are, because we've all got new gadgets. For God's sake, we're forever talking about gadgets on this show, and we tend to go out and buy them, and they all weigh a couple of pounds or a couple of kilos or a couple of ounces, but it all adds up come Friday when you're heading off on that trip. So guys, bring what you need buy other things that you need. I travel with half a tank of water, but top up when I get there. And I like to have half a tank of water for the toilet or in case you stop for a break or something. Only bring what you need. And please be mindful this holiday season about the weight that is in your home. Because as that person said, the vehicle's brakes and suspension are rated for said weight. And if you are grossly or even slightly over that, it may affect the handling of your vehicle.
Yeah, definitely just a safety factor in there as well. So no harm to be aware of what you can carry there. We're moving to the listener shouts out some follow-ups now on from that one. And last Friday, our new had a video about a motorhome space down in Fermoy. You didn't leave a very positive review, I believe, due to a number of cars kind of taking up all the spaces there. However, you did get a lot of comments left on the video, and I know one such viewer of the video, John O'Connor, sent you a message, but I think there's been some changes since.
There has, yes. It was in the car park up the top of town. Those spaces have now been removed. I don't know if it has anything to do with us or it was just coincidental. On the video, you'll see that I was talking to the parking warden. At no stage did she say to me, oh, by the way, we're doing away with these. Four new parking spots for motorhomes, campervans has been added downtown. And myself and Charlie hope to do a review on that the next week or so. But John O'Connor got onto me and he commented under the video. And you can see these on Charlie and me on YouTube. And you can see the comments that were left by quite a few people. But I just thought I'd bring you this one from John. It says, big motorhome fan from Fermoy. What a mess, providing camping bays for parking, which are consequently used by cars during working hours and not policed by traffic wardens who are like vultures in other parts of Fermoy. Spaces available in the evenings after 6 p.m. when workers and shoppers are gone home, but no good for campers coming in during the day looking for a park-up. More spaces for campers now marked out on the Rahilty Road, close to the river, near the Subaqua Club, only a 6 or 7 minute walk from the town, which has all amenities. There's room for 4 or 5 campers, maybe 6, with no water or power connections. Just parking on a line on a wide, straight stretch of road. It's typical of Fermoy to once again shoot itself once again in the foot by advertising camping parking bays, but not backing up the proposal with a proper policing system. Fermoy, one of the few big towns in Munster with no hotel, which tells a lot about the town, but we have fine traffic wardens who are feared around the town. But in this case, they're just not doing their job, and turning the parking for campers into a laughing stock is a total farce. Damaging the town's efforts to promote itself by offering non-existent facilities for tourism and wasting resources and giving Fermoy a negative image, which is hard to change. Sorry for the wasted trip, but it is what it is. Fermoy had a fine modern camping park with electric pickup points and water points and a washroom and all the mod cons needed on the town's edge. But the owner passed away after putting a lot of work into it and nobody took it over, and it now stands closed. Fermoy is the kind of town with too many negative influences, but again, it is what it is. Keep on trucking and happy camping. I love Fermoy. I say in the video, I hadn't been there since the bypass came in. I do remember that campsite, but alas, it is closed. I just wanted to bring you that. The parking spaces are now gone, so don't go up there to park. It's now remarked on the ground car parking spaces, but there are 4 on the Rahilty Road. Myself and Charlie are going to pop down there, not for an overnight. We'll take the ambulance down for a spin during the week just to do a video and let you know that they are there, but it's been publicised on a lot of Facebook groups. But thank you very much, John, for your comments, and indeed thank you to everybody. That video by bedtime had over 1,000 views, which is one of the, again, it's the way the videos are going, to be honest. I mean, I see even today's video is up in the, well up into the hundreds. But thank you for your comments on that one, and let's move on, and hopefully the other spaces which are on a busy road will prove popular and maybe they'll add more.
Yeah, and I think, like, we actually spoke about the Fermoy one a number of episodes back and said, guys, look, use these camper spaces as much as you can, because if the council discover that they're not being used, they will reallocate them, you know.
Yeah, and I could see the point when I got there at 3 o'clock. However, the fact at the time they were the only spaces and they were allocated for us, And like John basically said in the mail, we're not all 6 o'clock in the evening campers. We do arrive places at 2, 3, 1, whatever, at all
spend
hours.
Spend the day there, yeah.
And spend the day. So I was, and you can see in the video, I was pretty annoyed because I was looking forward to hanging around for a while because I hadn't been there for a while. But we shall move on and we'll discuss that next week's podcast or next week's video in a couple of minutes. But sticking with shout outs, Lynn was on to us a while back, and then she got back onto you again during the week.
Yeah, so people might remember earlier, I think it was kind of late last year, actually, we got a message from Jason about electric campers and will they take off, and this in follow-up to that, but it's a lovely email. It says, hi, Aaron, Chris, and of course, not forgetting the gorgeous Charlie. My husband, Jason, and I, plus our little schnauzer girl, Darcy, love listening to your podcasts. We don't have a motorhome or camper yet, in capital letters. Myself and Darcy are working on that one at the moment. But we have already learned so much from yourselves and your listeners with the do's and don'ts of van life. Also from watching Charlie and Me videos. When I was younger, my family holidays were all of us picking what campsite in Ireland we were going to go to and staying in our six-berth tent before my parents eventually progressed to a six-berth caravan, pure luxury. Looking back, they were the best holidays, despite the Irish weather. So with everything that's happened over the past 2 years, I started thinking more of those holidays and how you don't need that much to have a really good break, enjoying being surrounded by nature. So I started running this past Jason, and I knew he'd love it, but he'd never experienced camping as a child, so he wasn't sure. But I didn't give up. I was determined to let him see what I was going on about, and so we started doing some research by watching YouTube channels on van life and looking at some campervans and motorhomes at a local dealership to see what they were like. Last year, Jason contacted you regarding your thoughts on electric vans, and he told you that I was trying to get him to hire a van just to see if he'd like it. Well, I wanted to give you an update on where we were 1 year on, and the good news is that we did indeed hire a van. We started small, a VW conversion, Jason's idea, for the three of us, headed up to Ballyness Caravan Park in Bushmills for 3 nights. An amazing campsite, Charlie and me would love it. And then one night at Ardglass Marina, a bit like an air, but behind electric gates. There was a wee chippy in the town that's within walking distance as well. We couldn't have got better weather if we tried, and it was the week of that amazing weather in March, so we were able to have the pop top up with no worries of rain or wind. The VW was great, but to be fair, a tad on the small side, especially when you've got a husband who's 6 foot and a wee dog that likes to have one of the seats to herself. But we really did have a great adventure, being in nature and free to just head off and explore exactly what I've been harping on about for the past 2 years. So did my cunning plan work? Well, if I told you Jason admitted that he's got the bug, would you believe me? Of course you would, as fellow campers yourselves. In fact, he got the bug so much that we've hired another van for next month. This time, a Dreamer 6 meter panel van. No porta potty this time, but a bathroom on board and a transverse bed, so the big lad himself should be well comfortable. We're heading to Fermanagh and trying two different sites there. Both reviewed by Charlie and me, so we're expecting big things. Russian House and then to Blaney. We head to Gosford Forest Park for one night, as it'll be closer to handing the van back to the rental company. Then for next year, all being well, we've decided to tour Mayo and maybe 2 weeks. Can you see how this is going? I'm just so happy that Jason now understands the wonderful feeling of freedom in nature. So all I can say is watch this space, and I'll keep you posted on how things go. So she finishes then to say, please keep the podcasts and videos coming. They're great. And a big thank you for all the stickers which Jason got as a surprise for me at the time. Therefore, when we eventually bite the bullet and get our own home on wheels. I hope you all have a great travelling experience in 2022, Lynn. Isn't that a lovely email, Aaron?
That is brilliant. And that is very, very positive. And it just shows the power of being pushy, Lynn, has got you to where you are today. And we do look forward to bumping into you in your own van somewhere on a site around Ireland. If not this year, definitely for the summer season of 2023.
That's it. So you have a question in as well, Aaron. you were chatting online there with somebody about reversing sensors.
Yeah, Marie got on to me this morning, actually, and I said I would just quickly throw this out and I'd love your views on this, guys. He says, good morning, Aaron. May I ask a question? Have you experience of packing or of parking sensors installed at the rear of a motorhome? I'm considering having them installed to save my bumper in sticky situations. Any tip or advice, please? I wish you continued success with Charlie and Me, the videos and the Camping Crew podcast. Very, very informative. Kind regards, Marie. I got back to Marie to say that one of my vans did have parking sensors on it, but they were factory fitted. It's nothing that I've ever thought of because every van we've had, even including the B-Baw, has a reverse camera. Now, she found a model that she liked, but the cables were car length. So her problem is, if she buys this, can she buy extended cables? Because she's got a 7 meter motorhome. So guys, girls, we would love your opinion on this. Have you gone to your local car accessory shop and bought sensors and stuck them into your vehicle? If so, let us know. Didn't you have to buy an extended cable for your wireless camera?
Yeah, so they come mostly designed for cars. So just an extra, I think I bought an extra two extension cables just to give me a little bit of flexibility. Now, I'm not the handiest person when it comes to the mechanical side of things. So my reversing camera is actually loosely wired across all the cabinets in the motorhome. And I actually have it, would you believe, blue tacked onto the back window, which works really well for me. If you're handy, that sort of stuff, it's definitely something you can do yourself. And maybe somebody listens if they have any brands that they might recommend or where they purchased them for. And I'm guessing these things are probably ideally wired, Aaron, rather than using wireless systems as well.
Yes.
Wireless systems can be a bit hit and miss, can't they?
Yes, I'm nearly sure 99% of them are wired. And that's what she was saying, that they seem to come for cars. The one she's thinking of is a Dolphin MPS 400. But she said, I need the beepy type, so I don't fancy running long cables. But you're going to, I'm sure if they're available for cameras, they must be available because they're not just made for cars.
Yeah, yeah. No, the wiring would be fairly standard, I would imagine. I know the camera had a four pin that came in, the cabling came in four pin or five pin connections. So I suppose look at the specifications of the reversing sensors that you're buying. See if there's an option that they slot in and out. And if they do, you know, you should be able to buy a cable once you know. Once you know the type of cable it is and the type of connectors that are on it, you should be able to buy like one with a female end and a male end.
And, I did suggest that she buy them in store, and at least that way she can talk to the counter assistant and say, now, look, this is the model I want. However, that's where I'm fitting it to and point out at the wagon outside. And they could say, oh, yeah, not a bother, but you're going to need one or two extension cables.
Yeah, and I'm guessing her camper probably doesn't have a reversing camera on it, maybe, and that's just me assuming that, by the way. You know, I suppose if you have a reversing camera on it and it's kind of pointing down low enough, you might get away with that. But I can understand having that extra warning beeps when reversing are really handy, as well as the camera.
Yeah. So if you guys can help us out, we'll give you the contact details in just a couple of seconds. Now, like you guys, I hope we've been getting in a lot of camping over the past couple of weekends. And in fact, the whole camping crew got together for the first time the weekend just gone. We all met at Walsh's Field and then some of them went on to Banno Bay. And you're going to tell us about, well, Walsh's Field. We had a fantastic weekend this Easter Bank Holiday weekend.
Yeah, Walsh's Field is a great little, I suppose, a field or air in outside Blackwater in County Wexford. So it's close enough, if people know Coraclough Beach, it's close enough to it. It's literally a 2 minute walk into Blackwater Village. If people want to get something to eat, and the local takeaways even deliver to the campsite as well, if you're feeling particularly lazy and enjoying the weather. But it's a lovely location, and it's quite handy. I would say if you're going there, probably make sure you have your levelers with you. You know, there's certain areas of the field that are flat, others that are not. But, you know, no matter where you are, if you've got good levelers with you, you'll be grand and happy there, you know. And they've got the Blackwater facility in there as well, which is great.
Yes, and that's another, a new addition, which really changes things for camper vans, especially for vans that maybe only have a small porty loo. She now has, they have on-site fresh water, grey water and black water disposal. And I think that's a game changer. And I think that's what you need to have a successful air if you want to stay somewhere for a weekend, not just an overnighter.
Yeah, they are grass pitches, just to let people know as well. So I know there was one or two little slides, but nobody had any difficulty getting in or out. And so that's only going to get better now as the weather improves. But look, a great location, handy closeness to the town. You know, we'll definitely be back at some stage.
And then you guys made your way to Banno Bay for the bank holiday Monday evening.
Yeah, so we had a couple of nights in Walsh's, and we had an extra day off work as well. So we said, okay, we're going to head to Banno Bay. Bernie down in Banno Bay was nice enough to invite us down to have a look at the site as well there. And so we popped down with Ross, who you would have heard on the podcast before. So Ross and his family came down with us just for a one-nighter. And I must say, it's an amazing location. And if you want to go somewhere and chill out, it's brilliant. So, you know, it's, if anyone knows the Wexford area, you head down towards Wellington Bridge, and you can turn off at Wellington Bridge there down to Banno Bay. The seaside farm down there is spectacular. And, you know, they're improving all the sites that they've recently added in an extension to what they call the cow barn down there. Mm-hmm. But they're making like a hangout area for the wet days, you know, which is really, really good. But, you know, as it is on its own, it's brilliant location. You know, it's not really near a town or anything, but I think that's a good thing rather than a bad thing as well, you know. But they a lot of the shops do deliver down to the campsite if you're there for a good few days. And, you know, weekends, they're planning on having music there. And I believe on Good Friday they had somebody down playing some music as well for the campers, which is great. And I know the local bar in Wellington Bridge have a shuttle service up and down from the campsite as well. So look, if you wanted to get to a pub, it is very doable. But, you know, we would go there just for the tranquility. It's got walk access to three lovely beaches right from the campsite. Like, you know, it's without ever leaving the campsite, you can get to most of them, you know.
And there's a beautiful lady comes in the van called Maria. She's got an ice cream van converted into a coffee shop, Cup on Tay, and she does all the coffees that your heart desires and stuff like that. And also, there was something. Oh, yeah, we have a video of it up on Charlie and Me. If you go to our YouTube channel, there's a video up there. And we will be having a revisit ourselves. Myself, Deirdre and Charlie are heading back down there sometime in June. But well worth both places, Walsh's in Wexford, Banno Bay in Wexford. Well worth checking out both of them if you want to head away for a weekend or even just for one night to get out of the house. And both reviews are actually up on our YouTube channel as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're checking out. We checked them out before we went, as most people do as well. And it just gives us a good kind of idea what to expect, which is great.
Now, speaking of Charlie and Me, this morning's video, we put one up this morning of your brand new Van Gogh Hexy Diddly Diddly Doo awning. I can never remember. Hexaway 2. Am I right?
Yeah, the Van Gogh Air Hub Hexaway 2. So it's a driveway awning. Rather than the usual kind of square rectangle shape, as the name would suggest, this is a hexagon shape. And well worth checking out the video. I must say now, it's a major step up for us from our last awning. I'm not knocking our last awning. It was great. We had the Van Gogh Kila. Yeah. But this one it's like the TARDIS. It looks small on the outside. When you step into it, it seems to double in size, which is great. There's lots, because it has all the corners, and there's lots of space for people to kind of sit around if you're having a wee get together or whatever of an evening, or even just be able to cook up outside or what have you.
But it's a great space. I love how tall and airy it is. You know, there was four of us sitting in it, five of us sitting in it. You don't feel cramped. We had the two tables. And I just love the height of it. And it has the skylights, which you'll see in this morning's video on youtube.com/Charlie and Me camping vlog. I love the skylights in the roof. It's very bright and very, very airy. I absolutely love it. On the video, you'll actually show I scan over to a Volkswagen T5 that has the lower version of it. And that's Neil Kogan was actually onto me. Kogan was on this morning. He said, hey, Aaron, that's my VW van with the driveway awning that you referred to at the beginning of the video. Great videos and podcasts. Keep up the good work. So you do actually see Chris's for a motorhome, and I pan around and you'll see one on a smaller, lower VW van. And Neil got on to say that was them. And thanks for getting on, Neil, and letting us know.
And just worth mentioning, Aaron, as well, that You kind of mentioned it as well, but just if you've got one of the taller motorhomes, definitely you need to get the tall version of the awnings, you know, whether it's our version or the others. And if you've got, say, the VW type campers, you'll need to get just the regular version. So keep that in mind. We got ours from Charles Camping, and I just want to give them a shout out because they got it delivered down to me very quickly as well. So a big thank you for them. And they've got a massive range of Vango awnings up there. So, you know, you can find awnings, any awnings to suit your need. I do want to say is one thing, just to close from my side of things, is that I did check their site today and it looks like they're on back order to May 2022.
Wow.
A particular version that we have. But look, that's just next month. It's not a million miles away either, Aaron, you know.
Okay, so that's this morning's video, is an info video on the Vangu Airhub Hexaway 2 drive-away awning as purchased by Chris recently, and it's not sponsored by Charles Camping, as we mentioned in the video. This Friday's video, last week was for Moy, with thanks to our friends at the Motorhome Ireland Parking app. This is the second video of a trilogy. We head back and do a revisit to Cove, which since we've been there has all been resurfaced and repainted and looks absolutely beautiful. So that's this Friday, youtube.com/Charlie and me, our camping vlog.
Yeah, definitely a spot we have to get to as well, because we've got family in Cork. We tend to head straight into Cork, but you know, definitely
it's worth it because the train, you're parked by the train station, and I don't know, I think it's a 15 minute ride into town on the train. I think everybody bar me, because you know how lazy I am, who parks at Cove at some stage heads into Cork City on the train.
Yeah, and the Titanic museum there, and they visit the Spike Island goes from there as well. So look, definitely a lovely town,
and it shows how successful a car park with 5 spaces can become a very successful air with 30 camping spaces. But can I remind you, if you're the 31st camper, feck off, don't stay. The residents love that we come down, but they hate to see campers illegally parking. So please, if the pitches are all full in the air, go away and come back some other day. You will get back in, but it is a beautiful spot. So there are the two videos, the awning today and Cove, a revisit this coming Friday.
Yeah, right. We've got a quick tip now just to close out the podcast. And Con, who we did an interview in the podcast a while ago and has contributed to a few stories as well, but he's just back from a trip to Germany there, and he was in Hamburg, and he just passed on a lovely air, which is central in Hamburg, if anybody's heading over that way on holidays or to buy a motorhome or whatever, if you fancy stopping over in Hamburg. This is a lovely little air. I'm going to try do a bit of German now, so if I probably butcher it, I'm sure you forgive me. So it's One Mobile Hafen in Hamburg. That's WOHNMOBILHAFEN, One Mobile Hafen. I have just tweeted it this morning. Today is the 20th of April as we're recording and releasing the podcast. So have a look at our Twitter. There's a link to it, but it's €25 for overnight parking right in the center of Hamburg, and that includes your space, your disposal fee and all that. It's got electric hookups, exams, the usual facilities, and an air and wastewater. It's got shower facilities and that. And it actually allows you to go in and use the sanitary facilities without parking up as well for a fiver. So
brilliant.
If you're even just driving through and you needed to
pardon top my up or empty.
Dump the dump, just it's handy, you know.
It's a pity campsites, it's a whole other discussion about campsites allowing people to do that, but that's another discussion. But that's in Hamburg, and thank you to Con. Indeed, thank you to everybody who has given us items to talk about and contributed to today's show. And we do need your ideas to keep the content going on the podcast. Anything, ideas about camping gadgets, campsite suggestions or reviews, product reviews, or if there's a news item you'd like us to discuss on the podcast, or you want to chat about anything that we've mentioned on this or previous 147 podcasts, please do get in touch. And remember, we've got stickers for your motorhome, your campervan, your car, your caravan, and they're free. We need your name, your address, and your postcode, and we get them in to post you. And if you see us on site, we tend to carry them with us as well. Please do drop over and say hi. You need our contact details, and Chris has all of them.
Yep, our webpage is thecampingcrew.ie. On email, we're campingcrewpodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter, we're @thecampingcrew. On Instagram, we post at the Camping Crew Podcast. On Facebook, you'll find us posting regular enough in all the good motorhome and camping groups. Forum-wise, you'll find us at motorhomecrack.com, boards.ie.
And we're on campsitereview.com. That's our sister website. We have a forum there. It's free. It's very active at the moment for the last couple of weeks with people recording their little bits about campsites that they've stayed over on, and we'll start bringing them to you in future podcasts as well. That's campsitereview.com. And of course, Wednesday for info videos, but every Friday there's a campsite review video on youtube.com/ Charlie and Me, our camping vlog. If you see us on a campsite over the holiday season, please don't be shy. Call over, say hi. We love meeting you guys. We're doing a new thing for the videos called Meet the Campers. We might even get to record you. We've got a few of them recorded from this weekend, and they'll be coming up in future videos on the YouTube channel. From me, Aaron Birchall, stay safe out there wherever you go, and please do call over and say hi.
Yeah, it's goodbye from me, Chris. If you're enjoying the podcast, please subscribe and tell your camping friends all about us.
Well, that's it for another podcast from the Camping Crew. Thanks for listening, and do join us again very soon. Safe camping.